So Graham's theme tonight is, so we've been working through the theme of the kingdom, and so tonight we're talking about God's new world. And to introduce that for us, he's asked that we take a reading from Acts 17, starting partway through. So this is the context of Paul on his journey preaching, and he comes to the university city of Athens. And so we're going to take a reading starting at verse 16, Acts 17, starting at verse 16, and then over to Graham. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Difficult names there. I'd just like to give a very special welcome to my friends Bob and Shri, and also to Georgia as well. It's lovely to have you with us. I normally speak really, really fast. Even I can't understand what I'm saying. So because Shri and Bob are bilingual, they speak good English and Persian, which I don't speak. So they have two languages, whereas I have one. But I will try and be clear. So that reading, as you may know, was basically Paul declaring the living God, the God of creation, the God that we see here. Those obviously are the, not literally the hands of God, but in picture form. So we're going to be talking tonight about God's new world. First, I think we need to just run through our current world, which I think you'd agree is a very beautiful world. That's a real photograph, and there's a quote there from Numbers 14:21. So things don't just happen with God. He sets things out at the start. And in the Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, the fourth book of the Bible, Numbers, God sets out his purpose to fill the earth with his glory. Now, to an extent, we can see that... I might just use this, actually, because the... whilst it's a great gadget, it's just a bit easy with my... Our earth is uniquely designed for life. Now, I know that some of you have seen this before, but we need to appreciate that God has a plan with this earth. And in Isaiah 45, verse 18, we read, "Thus says the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he has established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited by people such as us. I am the Lord and there is none else." Now, we haven't got time to look at that there, but there's a lot of precepts there. God is creator, the earth formed to be inhabited, and there's no one else but God. And this is the God that we're declaring to you tonight, that was the unknown God. Because in Athens, they had a little unknown God, a statue in the corner. And Paul noticed they had gods for wine and for love and all these other gods. And there was a little one in the corner that said, the unknown God. Well, that's the God we're going to talk about tonight. So, I was quite pleased with that, actually. I actually produced that myself. I know it's a bit basic. I'm not really a great PowerPoint specialist. What does that mean? Well, in 2015, the scientists were saying that it's highly likely that 10 there, aren't there? No, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. Okay, well, there's supposed to be 10. I can't even count. Thank you for noticing. It shows you're watching. Well, what they said, there was highly likely that 9 or 10 other planets similar to our Earth existed. 5 years later, this year, they've changed it round completely, which is why it's a funnel shape there. The chances of a planet like Earth, with so many of the separate dials, we'll go into those in a minute. The dials are anything from gravity to the constituents of water or oxygen, all the things that go to make life. It's absolutely amazing that we are here at all. It's trillions, millions of trillions, the noughts are numerous. For life to exist at all in one planet is nothing short of miraculous. Now, I don't know anything about the energy density of space, but it's one of the components that makes our whole universe work. And everything is fine-tuned. This is a quote from Lee Strobel, one of my favourite creation authors. Scientists have determined that the cosmological constant, one of those dials, is fine-tuned to one part in 100 million, 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 million. That's a lot. That precision, now this is for you and me, this is, unless you've got any scientists here. That precision would be like going in a spaceship and travelling up into space, throwing a dart at the Earth and hitting the bullseye. That is the sort of precision for just one aspect to make our world work. That's the God that we're talking about tonight. And there's lots of other aspects like this. For example, now, don't worry about all those things on the left, and I don't want to give you nightmares about your physics and chemistry lessons at school, or uni if you did them. But I think we can see a hand behind that, and I think that we can see the hand of God behind all of these aspects on the left. Gravitation, the speed of light, electron mass, and all of these people here who have given their name to one of these dials, like a dial on a power station. They just basically cover all the aspects, electricity, how the generator's going, all the power. They have all these dials, or any big electricity generating center. So they are the aspects, they are the different aspects of physical constants, and there are 26 of them. So not only have we got a man in a spaceship going up with a dart and throwing a dart and hitting the Earth, not just hitting the Earth, but hitting the bullseye of a dartboard 26 times, and he gets 26 out of 26. It's phenomenal, isn't it? That's the God who made us. No wonder in Proverbs, the writer Solomon says, "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the sort of knowledge we saw on that previous screen, the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew." If someone's got a chance in the next 5 or 10 to get me some water, that would be fantastic. Oh, where's the silly old mouse gone? There he is. Stay there. Now, I'm just setting the scene at the moment for... there is something there. We have two options when we're considering all that we see around us. We have option one, which actually... you're in the minority if you think this. Maybe not tonight, because I think, you know, we all believe in God. But there are... thank you, Karen. There are two options in all that we see around us, including us wonderful human beings. Either we are specific creatures, human beings, the pinnacle of God's creation, made in the image of God and the angels, or, and I know which one I prefer, I'd much prefer to look like him and to have anything to do with him, wouldn't you, than this chap. But... correct me if I'm wrong, the majority of people don't just believe this in the world, they would actually argue with you almost to a fight, to dare that you could think, don't be silly, made by God in his image. So they are the two options. Now, if you go down this option, then with it, it's my belief that we have the Bible, God's revelation, and we have rules for living, we have prophecies that predict the future, and we have this wonderful time of God's coming kingdom on this earth, which I want to tell you about tonight. But just a few more examples of the beauty and the wonder. All of those show different design aspects from the master designer. And I thought Ralph and Karen and others, well, actually, you can't say anything. Where is this? have to bring you in at the back there. Where is that?
Encounter Bay.
Encounter Bay, yes. I'm surprised you're probably being too modest. Now, which one? Oh, yeah, I've already shown you, haven't I? This one is an artist impression. The hand of an artist. And this one is the hand of God. Now, I think they look pretty similar. If I came to you and said that some paints and a paintbrush just swashed over a canvas and produced that, you'd say, don't be silly, Graham. Looking at that, if I said to you, that didn't just come by chance, that beautiful landscape, the sea, the skies, most people would say, over millions and billions of years, blah, 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 that was produced from nothingness. Because there are only two options, aren't there, really? There are middle options, but we're not going to go there tonight. I don't agree with them. There's either the hand of the artist in creation or randomness. That's on my desk at home. That's just one beautiful little rose out of our garden. We've only just started to grow roses, and it's taken a while. And there it is. But everywhere you look, you see design. That is a worm. Believe it or not, when God makes a worm, he makes a beautiful specimen. That is just a worm. What I'm saying is that everywhere we look, whether it's up in the sky or in fine detail, we see God's hand. So, you may have seen just this week, they have discovered a coral reef in the Great Barrier Reef that is over 500 metres high, taller than the Empire State Building, which used to be the tallest building in the world, not anymore. But it's taller than the Sydney Tower and the Petronas Twin Towers, you know, in Malaysia, I think they are, aren't they? That's pretty tall. I mean, this shows you how vast Australia is, doesn't it, Bob Tree? I mean, I'm from England, you're from Persia. It's incredible. What a country that we live in. Yeah? And that has just been discovered. We're still discovering things. No wonder the psalmist says in Psalm 8, verse 4, when I consider your hands, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man? That tiny little shadow there, that you are mindful of them. Human beings, that you care for them. But he does. He does care for us. He loves us. And we'll see later one of the most amazing proofs that God loves us. So I've been studying creation for a few years now. And when you look at all the figures and the facts and all the wonder, this is a picture of me on a bad day. Then Job replied to the Lord, after all his arguments, you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is it that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. That's just the real point. You can see the wonder in that, maybe fear as well, that little bird's face, if his mum's actually going to come back and find him. But when we look at all the things in the heavens, when we look at things like DNA and the human body and the wonders of the eye and the brain, etc., then even I, zip my lip, we're speechless, aren't we? So we're just setting the tone here for God's world. So we're broadening things out slightly here. The options that we have are randomness and natural selection and chance versus order and purpose, both in nature and God's plan for the world. Because what we're talking about here is not just God's creation and purpose. We're talking about, is the world just rolling on, or does God have a plan and purpose? And the more you look at the Bible, the more you'll realize that God does have a purpose. So we're going to have a look at what we have done. God has made us caretakers of this world. You know, every school has a caretaker. He locks up last thing after the children. He's there first thing in the morning. The caretaker looks after Bob runs a wonderful chicken and chip shop. He does all sorts of lovely things with Cherie there. And basically, he's probably the first one most days, apart from tonight. We're very grateful he's here because other people are running the shop for him. But he's the first one in the morning, sets everything up, and I'm sure that on most nights you're the last one there. So you are like the caretaker or the owner. God has said to us, I'm going to put you in charge. Now let's see what we've done to this earth. My goodness, look at that. There's Lebanon there. Not quite sure what happened there, but whether it was deliberate or whether it's mismanagement, the poor people of Lebanon, as if they haven't suffered enough, suffered again. Look at that boat. There's well over 100 people there, maybe 200. Refugees trying to find a better place, like Australia. What a blessing that we live in a good country like Australia that's well managed. Crime is on the increase. We have air pollution, we have water pollution and plastic pollution. Oh, this is a rather good one, actually. All the dangers of the internet expressed in the form of a snake, those two, see the two fangs there? Children can access virtually anything without the right firewall these days. Depression and mental anguish is on the rise, particularly because of COVID-19. Drug issues and poverty and violence. So that's a snapshot. I tried to just take one picture from each aspect, if you like, of what we've done with our world. Now, I don't want to be depressing you tonight, because the world is a beautiful place. People can be, and a lot of the time are, beautiful. But altogether, unfortunately, it's the violent and those in government that sometimes sort of mess things up for other people. Now, these are all subjects in their own right, which we can talk about another time. But our troubled world has resulted from man's disobedience and selfishness, and also the curse. So you wouldn't blame earthquakes on man, but you wouldn't blame violence and pollution on God. So there are aspects of the curse where God's put us in control, and we do certain things in the world. Some are good, some are not. So Paul in Romans here says, I consider that the sufferings, those sort of things that we've looked at just there, I had all these notes that I was going to try and use to link one slide to another, but I just can't do both, so hopefully it's all making sense. Paul was saying that the sufferings, and he did suffer for his faith, he was persecuted for being a Christian, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory in the future that is to be revealed. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth up until now. And we see that, beautiful though our world is, there are still earthquakes and floods and glacial warming and other things, because God made the earth very good, but he said it wasn't perfect because the curse came in when man, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. So, the question we have to ask ourselves, and I'm not diminishing any of the great work that good people, good men and women of this world, spend their life trying to help these issues. There are top medical people all around the world now who are trying to produce a vaccine. The latest one doesn't bode very well, but the latest one they're working on, I think in Oxford, is a variation of the human cold virus. And we ain't got a vaccine for that yet, have we? So that doesn't look good. No, but the Oxford one is one of many around the world that's looking very, very good. And it's building up people's immunity in the body so that when your body recognises that horrible spiky virus, it says no and sends out, warriors to kill it. Now, there's an interesting sort of handshake up there. And we have rioting in Thailand and the US, all over the place. And, of course, the refugee problems. Now, at the moment, correct me if I'm wrong, but we haven't made that much progress in trying to do those things. What we need to do is to take a step back. If we're interested in God and his word, we need to have a look at verses like this. Whatever it is, where you have a big decision to make, whether you're looking at the world, whether you're trying to assess where the world's going in the future, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit. That word submit to him. Just allow him to give his viewpoint in the Bible and through prayer. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. There's a couple of politicians at the moment fighting it out, one in particular who are very wise in their own eyes, aren't they? But God is using them for his purpose as well, and we'll come on to that shortly. So, this guy here, Roman, that's probably East European, so it's probably something like Krusnarik. Krusnarik, got it. He's an Australian philosopher. There's a joke there somewhere. But he said things like to be fair, the French philosophers, they had it, they were really complex, weren't they? I mean, look at Descartes, was it? I think, therefore I am. I think an Aussie philosopher could have said that, to be honest. So hopefully that's just got the balance over there for you Aussies out there. How to live your life best. He said by reimagining your relationship with time and coming to terms with death, we can improve our existence. Now, blah, blah, blah. That really doesn't tell us anything. It doesn't help because the Bible has an answer even to death. It's called the resurrection of Jesus and eternal life in God's kingdom. And we're coming on to that. So, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So basically, we are looking and trying to encourage, same with me, trying to encourage each other to look at God's perspective. And the best way of looking at God's perspective is looking at the Bible, because that is written by God. Now, 2020, someone actually put that in late 2019, 2020, the year of perfect vision. Well, what do you think? I mean, we're nearly in November, aren't we? 2020. 2020, as you know, we're not opticians, but 2020 is perfect vision, isn't it? I can read, all those signs at the back there and some. Perfect vision. No, I can't. Because this year, there are three main things. And I put the bushfires in there because they're very close to home. We've got bushfires burning in the States at the moment, decimating the world. They're very troublesome and very frightening for people. COVID-19, which you may have heard of, I do not know in my little lifetime, and it is little, I don't know any aspect of news that's ever dominated virtually every website, every day, in every country for so long, month after month after month. Second COVID-19 wave swells across the US and Europe as winter looms. What's that? It was Shakespeare, wasn't it? Now is the winter of our discontent. Oh my goodness. The coronavirus likes cold weather. We're coming up to summer. But unfortunately, sadly, the northern hemisphere is in for not a very good time. Unless God chooses to intervene and speed up the vaccine process. The UN has called it the greatest crisis of our age, as Spain, that probably should have said, re-enters a state of emergency. And you, like me, have seen these figures. Now, I like to do things pictorially because I have quite a simple brain. And I thought, how can I demonstrate the effects of the coronavirus? Which I produced this document to say, in terms of the world population, which is 7.8 billion, very few people have been affected. However, if you happen to be one of them who's lost a loved one or can't go to the other side of the room without getting out of breath, then coronavirus has really affected you, and it's pretty key, pretty significant. So this is what I came up with. The world population, that whole map there, has 7.8 billion people in it. The infections have been 43 million So I thought, well, let's deal with our corner of the world here. People that have been infected but not necessarily died, that would be the whole of the population of Australia, the whole of New Zealand, not counting the sheep, the whole of Papua New Guinea, and the whole of Singapore. So every single person on this number has been infected. Now that is quite a lot, isn't it? If you say, oh, well, it's only 43 million, which I've been saying, it's only 43 million as a percent of 7.8, which I think is 0.01458 or something. Then you say, okay, well, look, the amount of deaths, though, is an even smaller. So that's the percentage of that one, 0.158. As a percentage of that, that's very small. But then you think, okay, that is the population of Adelaide, 1.3. So it's approaching the population of Adelaide. So I will leave you to say if you think that is a lot of people that have died, or that this... Adelaide's moved. That, sorry, I've just temporarily moved us into the middle of the sea there, but that should be up there, about here. To say that the whole of Adelaide, the population would have died. Now, some of you will say, oh, that's nothing. You know, compared to the world, that's a tiny percentage. But others of you might say, wow, that's actually quite a lot of people. Who thinks, let's just do a hand show. Who thinks that's an awful lot of people? Okay, you can abstain. Who thinks that's not many people? Okay, all right. I probably should have been more specific about that. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. That is why, by the way, countries like Australia, in fact, most countries, are treating this really seriously, because every single one of us counts in modern countries. And that's exactly what it's like with God. Each one of us is known personally. The number of our hairs on our head, and take many to count mine, but God knows all about us. Let's have a water break, excuse me. Okay. So US cases have surged to a record. Over 83,000 infections were reported on Friday. That's more than we've had in a whole year, and they've got it in one day. So we are very blessed to be in this country, and the good government, everyone slags off the government, but I think they've done an amazing job. The daily deaths rise by 40%. So look, these are all big figures, aren't they? And the US has got the claim to fame of having the most deaths, 225,000. Now, it's interesting, you know, when we did that, is the population of Adelaide, is that a lot of people? Is it not a lot? Well, look what our friend Donald said. He's not worthy of being called a president coming out with rubbish like this, but he said, we're rounding the corner, we're rounding the turn, we're doing great. How on earth can anybody say that it's got any intelligence? How can you say we're rounding the corner, we're doing great? Only somebody who is not that in touch with reality. That would be my answer. So, we're getting on to the leadership in the world, because we're going to come on to talk about the world leader, a coming world leader, which is Jesus. Now, people in Melbourne, okay, we haven't had it as tough as them, they said, we couldn't live through that again. Melburnians eye a life outside the city. Well, goodness me, if the only thing you've had to do is not move out of your comfy environments, then it's not such a bad thing, is it? Although it's easy for me to say that. But look at the cases. 905 deaths in total this year as a country. And, you know, we're worthy of those stars, really, aren't we? Because as a country, we've done very well. But God has blessed this country. These are the guys... not specifically, I mean, he's okay, he's got two ladies speaking to, they seem to be enjoying it. In fact, there he's getting on well. These are the young people that I feel sorry for. You know, guys like you who can't travel as much, you can't, you know, go abroad. Too young, somebody to go abroad anyway, unaccompanied. But, you know, it's not as easy to meet people, is it? It's not as easy to get out and about. So that's the folk that I think... So what's the lesson from all of this? Paul said to Corinthians, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles, troubles such as the problems with the COVID-19, not what he was thinking about, but they are troubles, aren't they, that we experience. Persecution. We were under great pressure as followers of Christ, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself, that they didn't feel it was worth going on preaching because they were so getting beaten up and put in prison. All they were doing was trying to preach Jesus. We felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." That's another subject. You know, there are people here that could talk all night about the fact that Christ was the first one to be raised from the dead to eternal life, and he's coming back to this earth. Have a think about who or what you're relying on at the moment. Are you relying on yourself, or maybe technology, or maybe your good fortune, or your money, or your skill, or your intellect, or the way you look? Or are you relying upon God? So, who can lead us out of these troubles? Is it Michael Stanley, Major Mick, in the, guess what the boat is called? Yes, the Titanic, the unsinkable boat. I know that, yeah. Does that look like me? He's got the right flag anyway. He basically went up and down the canal in Chichester to fundraise for a hospice, you know, people that were dying. So what a credit to him. But he, if you like, he's a figure for somebody, you know, an 80-year-old with a boat like that. He's not going to be able to do much in the grand scheme of things, is he? Doing a great job, though he is. So who can lead us? Is it going to be, well, a cardboard cutout? There's a joke there somewhere. Or is it, and I'm not going to make any dog comments, dogs 2020 because humans suck. Someone's actually got this in their front garden in the States because, you know, they've had it with politicians. What could the politicians do? So people are disenchanted. They want real leadership. And to be honest, there aren't that many good leaders in our world today, are there? I actually happen to think that Scott Morrison, let's not call him ScoMo, he's worth more than that. He's actually doing and has done quite a good job. He's not perfect because he's a man. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Whoever is going to win out of that, we don't know. But what I do know is in Isaiah, a prophecy about the future, which is full of in that days. Every time you read in that day in Isaiah, it is talking about the future coming kingdom age. So he says in Isaiah, as Isaiah is speaking, obviously, many peoples will come and say in the last days, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem," which of course it's not doing at the moment. So it's definitely future, isn't it? Let's see if we think it continues to be future. "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people." If you have these two working together, this is Jesus we talk about here, "they will beat their swords into plowshares," so all their swords would go into agricultural equipment, "and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not..." Well, this, it gets better, doesn't it? This is definitely not this world, is it? "Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they have great big military, naval, army, air force academies to train for war. And the ships, the multi-billion dollar ships and submarines and planes that are still being made." Definitely future, isn't it? I think you'd agree. Daniel was another prophet like Isaiah. He said that the decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of earth. Yes, even now, God puts people like Trump and Mussolini and Hitler. Sorry, I mean to categorize them all in the same there. But people that are not your favorite people. The Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people. So God is moving. We may not always agree with the leaders that he puts in place, but God is working. So, there we are, Bob. I'm sure you'll recognise, my empire, the British Empire, that's gone. Unfortunately, the Medo-Persian Empire's also gone. So this was a wonderful prophecy in Daniel 2, which we can have a look at another time. But Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and Daniel was brave enough to say, "You're the head, and your kingdom is going to go." In the time of those kings, the God of heaven, this is now future. So all of those kingdoms have gone. The Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek, the Roman Empire. We're in the end times now, however long that will be, the iron and clay. In the time of those kings, this is right up to now, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. So the British Empire is not still going, neither is the Roman, the Greek, Medo-Persian, but they've all gone, haven't they? We are looking for something that will never be destroyed. And verse 45, this is the meaning of the vision, the dream that you just had, Nebuchadnezzar. The rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, bronze, clay, silver and the gold to pieces. That is designed to represent Jesus knocking down all of the kingdoms, including these, including the iron and clay, which we're now, iron and clay, the 2 feet with the 10 toes. Basically, iron and clay don't mix very well, apparently. And so that's why we're in such a strange time at the moment. So this leader that was spoken about, the rock, is Jesus. In the New Testament, we read that Jesus is the stone the builders rejected. He was crucified. They tried to do away with him. Who has become the cornerstone, the main part of the building. Salvation, and this is not me saying this, this is the, so you don't have to agree with this, but this is what it says in Acts. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which you must be saved. That's the claim. I'm putting it out there, and you can look into it and see what you think. Now, Jesus, the one leader who could be running this whole world properly and who will be running this world properly in the future, these are just some of the things that he said or were said about him. In the New Testament, it says he has done all things well. On the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them," to those that were knocking the nails in his hands. They know not what they do. Many times, Jesus moved around and the words Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion moved him around. That was his way of operating. Love, compassion from the heart. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the hungry. He forgave the sinner. He reprimanded the hypocrites. He befriended the lonely souls. He gave hope wherever he went. Do you know anybody else that did that? As Christians, we try to do this. We try. But we're not very good, are we, if you're anything like me? And he preached not the news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, the good news, repentance and forgiveness of your sins and a coming world under the government of Jesus. In Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's not just literal prison. It could be people that are in prison because of their thoughts and their feelings and their inadequacies. Whatever your prison might be. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. So it's going to be a year that's going to be good for those who are with Jesus. But it's going to be a time when God will say, "Look, are you with me or are you not with me?" And so we can make that choice now. I listened to a fantastic, if you can look on YouTube and see Cliff Richard's song called "I Wish We'd All Been Ready." Unbelievable. Beautiful melody in the days when they had proper melodies. I wish we'd all been ready. And it's talking about the fact that some would be ready for the return of Jesus and the sadness that comes with not being ready or not wanting the return of Jesus. I was going to play it for you tonight, but there isn't time. Now, who's heard of a group called Supertramp? Do you remember? Yeah. Dreamer. No, you are a dream. Remember that one? Okay, that's Supertramp. They did an album called, John will sing it to you later, Crisis, What Crisis? Now, I've put some sunlight in there. This guy is just, he's got his pina colada. He's under his sunshade there. He's got whatever that is, a newspaper. He's feeling pretty good about life. What he doesn't realise, and this is the whole irony about this album cover, is actually, guess what? He's got his back to the industrial landscape and the chaos. In a sense, you and I can be like that. Just, yeah, look, I know, I'll wait till next week before I sort out that issue in my life or before I really start thinking about serious things. We can be like that, can't we? But ultimately, we don't want to be like that. Are you saying it looks like Jeff, Sue, or no? So it's your, sorry? If only, well, I'll tell you what. What I'm going to do, you can be a witness. I'm going to email a shot of that to Sue so she can see how close in the coming months Jeff can get to that that individual there. No, Jeff, you've got a lot more going for you than that. Definitely in the cerebral department anyway. Okay, so now, God is patient. God is patient, waiting for those who in the future will look to him and serve him. He's not going to wait forever. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. He set a day when he would judge the world. By the way, do you know where that is, Steve? You've been there. Yes, correct. Vietnam. Beautiful, isn't it? He set a day. We read it, didn't we? Taylor, you read it. Sorry to give you all those names, by the way. He has set a day. Only he knows, the Lord God in heaven. He set a day when he would judge the world with justice by the man, that's Jesus, whom he's appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone. By the way, this is Acts. This is in the New Testament. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So God's stamp of authority is with Jesus, who died, was crucified, and resurrected. What a stamp of authority. A resurrected person living forever. This is my man, if you like to put it crudely. This is my son, my only son. And he set a day that he's going to judge the world. And I'll tell you what. We've got the day. There it is. What day is that? 29th. When's that?
Tomorrow.
Look, we don't even know what year it's going to be. But I can tell you that people that I know that are older than me, which is a lot of people, who studied prophecy for many, many years, if not decades, they're all, these are good people who study the scriptures all around the world. You know many of them. They are saying there isn't much left that needs to happen, if anything. So everything is in place. And again, I would never give you that date. But I'm just saying that one day, it won't even be tomorrow. It will be, you know, tonight, that Jesus is coming back to this earth. So we need to be ready, don't we, you and I? So why isn't he coming back then? Well, again, always because of his character. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slow. You know, people saying, look, you know, they even say it of us, and maybe me. You Christadelphians have been saying for years now, Jesus coming back, make sure you're ready. Well, he is coming back. The reason God is not sending Jesus back yet, he's patient, not wishing anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repent. So there are still people who are going to turn to Jesus and turn their lives to him. Revelation talks about making all things new. We all like new things, don't we? New cars. Well, I'd rather have an old car, actually, because you feel too much responsibility, don't you? So give me an old car any day. I'm quite happy to drive around in my old Toyota Camry. Sorry, darling. All things are going to be made new, okay? And so you and I, talk about cars. How's that? I've counted them. There are 50 lanes in there. Have a wild stab in the dark guess as to what country that could be in. Wow, you're clever, aren't you? Who would have thought, with all the people in China, that's where Corona first started, with the national holidays, and they all went. It's amazing that we'll never quite.
I told you we should have been in the right
hand. Yes, can you imagine? Did everyone, if you didn't hear that listening online, James said that you can imagine the comments in the car. I told you we should have been in the right-hand lane. Yes. All our husbands would have said that, wouldn't they? Probably our wives, actually. So there are two. Has anyone been down a road like this in the UK? It's pretty amazing driving, isn't it? It's exciting, isn't it? Let's face it. You know, far more exciting than that. You never know what's going to could be. It could be a combine harvester, a truck. All sorts of, but this is a figure for the narrow and the broad way. Enter through the narrow gate, for what wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. So this is a picture for saying that only a few people, like we said earlier about people believing that God is the creator and that we didn't come from monkeys. Only a few people believe that. Only a few people believe that following Jesus and following God and his ways in the Bible, that will lead to eternal life. Most people just say that, either I'm not interested or I haven't got time or I'll sort it out later or I certainly am not interested, whatever it is of those options. So God so loved the world that he proved it by giving his son. And on the cross, there was one man over there. I forget whether it was on the left or the right, actually. I might have got that wrong. Anyway, it doesn't actually matter, I don't think, anyway. The man on the left, the one that didn't believe in Jesus, said, look, if you're the Son of God, get us down off here and get us out of here. He was just thinking of himself. You can't blame him, because who wouldn't want to get away from that horrific situation? But this man said, I'm paraphrasing it, that we deserve to be here. We are criminals, and I don't think anyone deserves this. It's a horrific way of dying. But this man, who obviously had some former thoughts and beliefs about Jesus, said, look, remember me, Lord, when you come in your kingdom. This was the last-minute confession of faith, and you're right next door to Jesus. And Jesus says, yeah. That's it. You've made your confession. I can see your heart. Truly I say to you today, you'll be with me in paradise. So basically what he was saying is that when Jesus comes back, this man will be raised from the dead and be in the kingdom with him. So he, even though ironically it was his last few moments, he chose life. That's what we've got to do. Effectively, we have to choose life, you and I, don't we? Now, here's where it gets interesting. We looked at all the wonderful things about the world. In Ephesians, this is talking about the believers in Jesus. He, that's God, chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So the believers of God were selected, if you like, to receive the message before the world even began. We still had free choice. We could have gone this way or that way, but God knows the end from the beginning, so he knows. He knew right from the start. Before creation, he knew who was going to be in God's kingdom. And in love, he adopted us as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the kind intention of his will. It's a beautiful phrase, that, isn't it? Okay, we are moving swiftly on. So, just skipping back a bit, we said that God's working in the hands of the leaders of the world. You might have put this together before. I didn't do this. Someone did it for me. I did this, but I didn't put the idea together. The Abraham Accord, a peace accord. By the way, Sudan has just made peace with Israel, although Sudan is on the opposite side in the final time. But peace and safety is being called these days. Bahrain, the UAE and Israel, and probably others. Egypt's going to be the big one, I think, that will eventually say we want to restore relations with Israel. It's a big thing. This young man here, who looks like Trump's twin brother, he said our commitment to Israel's security, another word for safety, will be unshakable while I'm Prime Minister. Now, it's not politically correct to say things like that in the UK because it's quite sort of liberal. Isn't it amazing? But at the moment, we don't know what's going to happen next week with Trump. God has put these two individuals, these two lookalikes, in the world at the moment to steer for his purpose. That's the point, isn't it? So, in the last days, it says that people will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, not everyone, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure, that rings a bell, doesn't it, rather than lovers of God. So you might think, well, that doesn't apply to me there. Lovers of selfies, yeah, possibly. Lovers of pleasure, well, yes, we can all say, yeah, we've got things that that take up too much of our time, having a form of godliness but denying its power. So that's what we're told to look for in the last times. I like this one, actually. Focus on the anchor, not the storm. Now, the hope of the believer in Jesus is an anchor. It's been said before, it's not my thought, but the anchor has a chain which goes right up. I think it was Matthew Blewett, one of our members, that said that. He lives in South Africa. He's got some wonderful thoughts. He said that goes all the way to the living God. And that's a hope that's solid. An anchor that has you at one end and the Lord God at another. Attached to that is what you and I want, don't we? To be in touch with our Creator. We have this hope, the hope of the Bible, the hope of forgiveness in Jesus, and the hope of a place in God's kingdom in the last times. It's a soul, it's a firm and secure, because it's based upon Jesus. Okay, we've only got five left, so we're not doing two. Can I have, where's Ben? Can I have five more minutes, Ben? Yeah, thanks. How could he say no? So these, you know, it says in many times in the New Testament, if this is the case, what manner of persons ought you to be? I can't go into detail. But the point of all of this is people aren't interested in, okay, you know a little bit about creation, Graham, and you're very enthusiastic and blah, blah, blah. What people are interested in is, do you walk the walk, Graham? Do you put into practice the principles of Christ? Like you, I'm trying, but I don't always get it right. But to be like Jesus, we might think, oh my goodness, that's too big. Young people, you know how to do this. To be like Jesus, you include people. You bring people in as the team, don't you? You treat everyone as one. You give a cup of cold water like that when someone's thirsty. You look around for people's needs and you address them. You meet their needs. Pure and undefiled religion in God's sight, this is from James, is what? To know your scriptures very well or to pray every day? No. True religion is to visit orphans and widows in their distress. It's very simple, isn't it? But we don't always do it. So that's the practical aspect. So we've had that, I think. So here's this verse and chapter in Revelation, this newness. As if our world wasn't beautiful enough, God says he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth is going to pass away. Moving down here, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. Now that has not happened yet, so this is clearly future. The old order of things has passed. So whatever sadness or unhappiness that you have at the moment, hopefully you can get some assistance and a good friendship group and some people to support you and get you out of that place. But When Jesus comes back, all our problems and all our mourning and crying and tears will go. And so these are some of the things that spoken about in. There's going to be 1,000 years when Christ comes back. It's called the millennium. 1,000 years when God will put Jesus in control, and he will do some wonderful things, including opening the eyes of the blind in the red there. People will come into that kingdom, which has been prepared, and they will inherit that kingdom. In the green there, the Lord will be a king over the earth on that day. On his name, on that day, there'll be one Lord. Abundance of grain, not just on the lowlands, but on the tops of the mountains. In the blue there, that's Israel, God's people, and the Gentiles that believe, all together in God's land. Holy to the Lord in green there will be put on the pots of the horses and the bowls of the altar. We've looked at that one up there in the maroon there, that no more fighting, no more war. And that on the top there, the weak and the needy will not be oppressed anymore. So, those of you who remember Harry Tennant, who I consider to be, John's nodding, he knows him, I consider to be a very good Bible student. He's a sleeping Christ. He died several years ago.
16.
Well, John, if you want any facts and figures, John's your man. Thank you, John. What lies beyond 1,000 years? I thought surely Harry's bound to know. That is still a secret. Doubtless there are wonders and treasures of wisdom and knowledge which the Father has meanwhile reserved to himself in order to make them known at the appropriate time. But all that could be summed up that we know definitely about this wonderful time after the 1,000 years is God will be all in all. Jenny's heard him say that, haven't you? That God will be all in all. That's God coming right down and being everywhere. And that's really exciting, isn't it? Actually, that's our final slide. So sorry if you've gone over a bit of time. Now, when you get home, just have a little think and take some things out for you. And if you feel that it's resonated in your head and your heart, have a little think. There's lots of people here that would gladly have a chat to you. I hope that you've managed to pick up. I haven't been speaking too fast. But this is the time coming in Malachi, which is the last chapter, isn't it? Of the last book of the Old Testament. This is referring to Jesus. Now, we want this time, don't we? The time that's coming when the Son of Righteousness, it's spelt Son, but he's the Son and the Son, brightness and visible, shall arise with healing in his wings. So that's a wonderful time, isn't it? And that's the Bible hope. The Bible hope is that Jesus is coming back to this earth to set up God's new world. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that. Thank you.